My name is John, and it gives me a great pleasure to be here this evening. I know some few months ago, we had our own situation. We were in our own situation, most especially about getting a stay in this country. But thank God today, we've all been given our stay because while we have the father of Irish-born children. And I'm quite sure a lot of these women sitting out here today, some of them are Irish-born mother too, but unfortunately, they did not make the cut-off day. But notwithstanding, I still believe those kids are Irish.
Yes.
You know? Because why, if you the framer of the constitution of this country, wherever they are today, I bet you those kids will be known as Irish. They'll be recognized as Irish citizens. In the U.S., when you have kids, no matter where the parents are from, no matter what age, what year they were born, these kids are considered to be Irish citizens. I'm a Nigerian, and whatever they are going through, I've been through it. Fortunately for me, I had the opportunity of getting out of Nigeria back in the year 1979. I went to the state, to the U.S. I went to school in the state. And after some few years, after my degree in construction management, I went back to Nigeria, thinking maybe I can make a better life and, bring some changes. Why? Because then the present president of Nigeria came to the state and started asking all the Nigerian professionals, come back home and build your country. What are you doing over here? Whereas then I was in the state as a project manager. My specialty is low-income housing construction. So I was there managing projects, and I was doing fine. And I went back to Nigeria trying to, with the intention of going to help my people. I never knew all what the men came in there to do that day was nothing but to paint a lie. It was all nothing but a lie. And it was all nothing but facade. Because when I went into Nigeria, I saw behind that window dressing, there's a lot of apathy, a lot of hunger. People are suffering, unemployment. And people like women especially are getting violated. I will tell you a particular incident that happened to me. A lady ran up to me once and told me, please, brother, can you help me? I said, what can I do for you? She said, please, my daughter is getting ready to be mutilated. Can you do something? I don't want my child to go through the same thing. I went through. I've been through. And I said, okay, let's go and call the police. I thought coming to Nigeria, the police in the state, the policemen in Nigeria are the same way the ones we have in the U.S., not knowing you're dealing with different kind of policemen entirely. And I said, let's go and call the police. And we went down there and made a report at the police station. And after making the report, the officer asked me, he said, brother, where are you from? I said, I'm in Nigeria. He said, you must be new in this country. I said, why did you say that? He said, because this is African culture. Any woman that doesn't get mutilated, that woman will end up having a very high sexual drive. And I would say, what? She said, her sex drive would be so high that no man would touch a woman that doesn't have a genital mutilated. And I said, that's not true. She said, well, this is Nigeria. And to me, believe me, I walked away from that place. I felt so bad because there's nothing I could do. The only alternative, the only help place I felt I could have seek some help for that lady, she couldn't get her help. And the lady went back home crying. And the little girl ended up getting mutilated because the following week I saw the little girl in pain. And there's nothing I could do. And I was wondering, I was single. I said, the same thing is going to end up happening to my wife. My child, my daughter. And I've been through it with my daughter. And that was one of the main reasons why my wife was going through the same situation. I never knew my wife was in Ireland. Until after some few months, luckily she was able to, she gave birth to a baby boy. And she told me she now lives in Ireland. So that's the main reason. I left Nigeria, I came to Ireland so I can be with my family. Because I don't pray for anybody to go through what most of these women have been through. It's not a good thing. And it's not a good feeling, And all we just plead is to please reconsider their situation, because it's like when you travel all over Europe, all over US, and you look at the airport, they will always tell you Nigeria is not a safe country. But now I'm wondering, You all are advising your citizens, telling them don't go to Nigeria. But at the same time, you're telling us Nigeria is a safe country. We're going to deport you all back to Nigeria. That's double standard. Because Nigeria is not a safe country. It's not. I mean, sometimes I've driven my car on the highway and sometimes you see dead body lying all over the street. You can get killed anytime. And when you leave your house in the morning and go to work, believe me, it's like you're going to war because you may not come back home. You know? So these women, they've all been through a lot of changes. A lot of changes. And I just pray things could go good better for them. So they won't have to go back to Nigeria, because going back to Nigeria to them it's like death sentence. Why would you want to sentence someone to death? Because you see, one thing I understand by the people, the Irish government, is that a lot of us, when I was growing up in Nigeria, I went to a Catholic school. Majority of our school principals were Irish missionaries. Most of our teachers were Irish. So we named the first set of white people a lot of us ever laid our eyes on were Irish. And coming over here, I understand there's no country in the whole world that can run an open border policy. It's impossible. But at the same time, we've got to apply some human, you know, description and judgment towards the way we treat our immigrants in here. Because an average immigrant here, I bet you they are Nigerians. Most of them, we are all from a country where there's no social benefit. There's no hospital, free medical, there's no free dental. Everybody wakes up in the morning and go out there and get a job and do something. And I bet you if the Minister of Justice would just tell these women, okay, we are cutting off your benefit, you go out there and get a job, I bet you they will jump for that. Because I feel better. I feel ashamed most of the time when I walk into the post office and start collecting 19 euro. No. I'm an able-bodied man. I think I can contribute a lot to the success of this great nation. That way I can be able to put food on my family's table. And the same thing applies to these women out here. They're not asking for any answer. No. All they're asking is to please, we don't allow... Take the suffering away from our children. Allow them to enjoy what an average, a normal child should enjoy instead of going through what we have been through in Africa. So please, we appreciate you all. Thank you very much.